Perhaps a better analogy is to think of the British House of Lords and the difference between the hereditary peerages of the nobility. We have a family like the Percys, one of the most aristocratic in England. It goes back to the days of Henry VIII. And then we have the peerages bestowed in more recent time on non-nobles, such as Andrew Lloyd Webber. Pots of money or not, Lord Webber will never be seen as really part of the aristocracy, and everyone knows that. The social snobbery on the part of this upper stratum of society, on the part of the aristocrats, led to other terms being applied to the Rhetores. And these other terms eventually took on odious connotations. And the most common term was demagogue, the Greek word demagogos. Now, this word means literally leader of the people. But it doesn't follow that the person leading the people is doing so in a proper manner, leading them down the garden path more likely for a hidden agenda to achieve political power. The first or the prototype demagogue we shall meet in our course was an Athenian called Cleon. He would dominate political life in the early years of the Peloponnesian War. His father owned a tannery, a factory that turned hides into leather, and Cleon was worth quite a bit of money. Not that that mattered, because he was not old money. He wasn't an aristocrat. Now, I don't actually think Cleon had a rhetorical education to call it that, because Gorgias came to Athens in 427, and by that time Cleon was already politically active. In fact, he'd been a member of the Boule the previous year. I suspect Cleon was one of those naturally talented people who could do a job once he saw how it was done. In his case, probably from attending assemblies, he saw how speakers persuaded people, and with his natural skill at public speaking, he was able to do the same thing fairly easily. He had quite a different style from his predecessor, Pericles, whose death in 429 opened the door to the non-noble demagogues. And the difference in style is that Cleon would berate the people in the assembly and criticize them. He would get in their faces. And this criticism of his audience set a trend that other rhetores followed. And perhaps it was deliberate. Perhaps it was deliberate to emphasize the difference between the old aristocratic speakers and the new men. As different, for example, as between rock and roll and punk. It's a whole new movement. This trend, as I said, didn't abate. It remains a constant throughout the 5th and 4th centuries. Let me jump ahead to this time, to the 4th century, to illustrate its longevity. Perhaps the most famous demagogue was Demosthenes, who lived and worked during the later 4th century. He was the one who led Athenian opposition to Philip II of Macedonia. Now, I'm going to be mentioning Demosthenes in the next lecture as well, so we may as well meet him now. Demosthenes began a career writing speeches for others to give in the law courts. And eventually, he entered the political arena of the assembly in the 350s. By the middle of the 340s, he was so powerful in Athens that the people blindly followed his anti-Macedonian policy. And it was that policy that led to the Greek defeat at the Battle of Chaeronea in Boeotia in 338 and the end of Greek autonomy. With Demosthenes, the question is whether he was Greece's greatest patriot, as is sometimes touted, a man who stood firm against the oppression of Philip at all costs. Hence, his policy failure was a noble one. Or was he someone who cynically exploited the threat from Philip as a platform to political power, the hidden agenda? However, Demosthenes, although he held some official offices, was never archon. His power base came from his speaking in the assembly. And yet in the 340s, Demosthenes' policy was that of Athens. His power was that great.